I'm Blair Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to episode 28 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you are very well. So I've had a few meetings this week that have been brilliant, actually, because they've been talking about just big picture general stuff. What are the major trends coming up? How is this going to affect the way that we work and the way that we live? And of course, the way that we lead. These are the kinds of conversations that I love. And I wanted to have that same conversation with you today, to share with you what I think those major trends are, the trends that are on my mind at the moment and that may be interesting for you to reflect on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share some of those trends with you, and then I'm going to talk about where we start with this stuff. So without further ado, here are some of the major trends. So the first is agile, and there's a lot of talk in organisations about agile. I've talked about it, obviously, on this podcast before, particularly in the run-up to the Agile Working event. One of the things I want to emphasise about agile is that it's not really about flexible working so that you can have more time for your family or for your hobbies or for caring for elderly relatives or for your kids. It's much more about the business, and it's driven by a business imperative. We're working in a world now where it makes less and less sense that people are sitting at their desks from 9 until 5, 9 until 6. Actually, people need to be operating from different locations at different times of the day in a global economy. Sometimes it's more important that you're available at 4 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night, and being available at midday is kind of useless to everyone. The change in technology and advances in technology now make it possible. One of my lovely friends is what she calls digital nomad. She works from wherever she wants to work, and there is absolutely no problem because the technology makes it possible for her to design a business that she can take anywhere. Related to agile are trends around outputs, not inputs. So companies are thinking much more about what is the output that people are delivering, not how many hours are they sitting at their desk, how many hours are they plodding away on their laptop or actively seeming to be working. So this is one trend around agile, around digital nomadery, and around outputs, not inputs. The second trend is AI and the increase in the number of bots that we're going to be working alongside. And again, this is something I've talked about before, but I wanted to use today's podcast to bring some of this stuff together. Bots are going to take a lot of the jobs that are currently done by people. This is pretty much a guarantee. Now, this does raise big questions about what the rest of us are going to be doing then and whether there'll be enough work to go around. And I think that is a topic that is going to become more and more important for us to be talking about. What are we actually going to do? How are we going to make sure that people have got something productive to do, that people have got a way to make a living? But the piece that I'm more interested in the shorter term is how do we future-proof ourselves and how do we future-proof the jobs that we want to be doing? And I think a lot of that is down to emotional intelligence. You know, if you're saying that you make decisions based on data and scientific evidence and that you leave emotion at the door, then you're saying a bot could do your job. And I know that this is something I've said before, but I think it's really important to repeat. We need to get much more skilled at listening to our intuition, listening to our instincts, being more comfortable with risk, being able to read between the lines of what's going on in order to actually get the AI and the bots to ask the right questions. We need to ask the right questions. And I think that that way of working, the stuff that requires emotional intelligence, the stuff that requires listening to subtlety, the stuff that requires connection, that is stuff that bots, certainly in the foreseeable future, are not going to be able to do. Third trend is around the new generations in the workplace. So the Generation X and the baby boomers who are still in the workplace are being added to by the Generation Ys and the generation behind them, the I generation. These are generations that are seeking more meaning and purpose. These are generations that don't have as much respect for the hierarchy as we did when we were younger. These are generations that are very diverse and very embracing of diversity. These are generations of people who are seeking something more than just a stable job, 9 to 5, until they retire in their 60s or 70s or 80s. The generations are changing more quickly. So whilst in the past it might have been 20 or 25 years for a generation and then it became 15 years, now because of the pace of technological change and the pace of change in the world, we're seeing generations that are 10 years long, 8 years long, maybe in future even 5 years long. And what that really does is it throws into the air any concept of generations in the first place. If a generation is only 1 or 2 years long, then it becomes slightly irrelevant to talk about. So this is a really important conversation. Who have we got in our organizations? How are they different to us? What do they want? What do they expect? What can they bring that is of value to us in our organizations and that is different to what we bring, the older generation? This leads me into the fourth trend that I'm seeing, which is around purpose. So there's been a lot of talk about purpose in business for a long time, but a lot of that was just PR and marketing speak, a bit of branding. Actually, now we're seeing a lot of organizations that really mean it, that are really focused on purpose, even more focused on purpose than they are on profit. So being number one in their market or having quarterly increases in profit isn't as important to them as being able to serve their customers. They're saying to their shareholders, to their employees, to their other stakeholders, that it's less important for them that they grow fast than that they create a sustainable model where they are constantly in service of their customer and adapting to what their customer needs or anticipating what their customer needs all the time. In this kind of environment, the idea of competition, certainly internal competition, which is rife in most organizations today, but even more so external competition, becomes irrelevant. It's not about beating your competition. It's about serving the customer. And therefore, if the best way to serve the customer is to collaborate with your so-called competition, then that's what you do. And this is a major change. So when we're talking about collaboration, we're not just talking about cross-team collaboration, cross-functional collaboration. We're talking about a real collaborative ethic within the organization that impacts its relationships outside the organization. Next, number five, something I've spoken about a lot in the past, TEAL, the breakdown in hierarchy and organizational structure as we know it. Up until now, a lot of this has been driven by the desire to make efficiency savings. I don't think that's a good motivation. I don't think efficiency is a business strategy. It might be a quick fix, but it's not a long-term sustainable strategy for any business. I think the reason we need to look at hierarchy is partly what I talked about with the generations, that people simply don't have the same kind of respect that they used to have for hierarchy, and therefore the structures actually get in the way of the smooth operating of the organization. But even if it wasn't for that, hierarchy is very bad in the sense that it creates silos, it creates silence, it creates secrets, it creates trickle down of information. It doesn't allow for distribution of decision making. It means that those at the top are carrying huge weight loads of work. It means that those at the bottom are kind of blind to what's going on in the organization, so they can't make good decisions. And it's very inagile. Where you've got a lot of structure, a lot of process, a lot of system, it's very difficult for a company to be flexible and to adapt and to iterate quickly. And that's, for me, the major reason to break down hierarchy, and one of the reasons that increasing number of organisations are talking about it and trying to do something about it. Number six, and I touched on it there, continuous iteration versus change programmes. I really believe that if you're looking at doing a massive change programme over the next 6 months or something, then you're thinking about this in an old-fashioned way. Now, of course, if you want to introduce a new structure, you're going to have to do that in quite a dramatic way to start off with. But then what you really need to do is to think, how do we keep this alive? How do we build into our system a way to be continually iterating our structure, continually iterating our products, continually iterating our relationship with our customers, continually iterating our relationship with our staff, our place in the world? All of this stuff is under constant review. And I think that increasingly we're going to need to get used to noticing where we're comfortable, noticing where we're in a habit, and being more reflective about that and asking whether it's working, whether it's creating now some kind of knock-on effect, some sort of spiral effect that's bad for our organization, and whether we need to deal with it at its source. And finally, number seven in terms of trends is around education and what education our kids are going to need for the future. Now, this isn't so much a concern for business directly and for business leaders, although maybe it should be. You know, those kids that are in school right now are going to be joining our businesses in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And we have a vested interest in influencing the education that they're getting, and not just the education in terms of the topics, the subjects, but how they're being educated. And this distinction that says, well, business does what business wants and education does what education does, and then somehow we hope that those two things match up, that's just not going to be good enough in future. So what does all of this mean for us if we aspire to lead, if we aspire to bring about change, to make a difference? Well, we can talk about the big stuff, but I think it's always important to start with the self, to take care of your own stuff first. We test out our openness to new concepts through personal experience. And whilst it's been fantastic over the last week to talk about all the big stuff and to imagine what that means for business, for education, for our world, in the end, what I need to do and what I have been doing over the last couple of days and why I wanted to share this with you is to say, well, I could talk a big talk, but what does that mean for me personally? What am I doing to start to shift into these new ways of working? How can I help anyone else to make a shift if I'm not doing it myself? So, if you think that your business needs to be more agile, how agile are you willing to be? Are you still stuck in your office from morning to night, going from meeting to meeting and complaining that there's no way for you to break that cycle? Or are you being radical about how you work and trying to find ways to be more effective, more impactful, but maybe in less time? Or maybe from a different location. How agile are you willing to be? How much are you willing to push at the boundaries of that? If you can see that bots are going to replace many of the jobs currently done by people, don't be complacent about your own job. You know, it's easy to look out and see the jobs in your business that you think are going to be negatively impacted by bots and, you know, sucking through your teeth and say, well, I'm glad that's not me. But what role does your business need you to play? What role does your business need a human being to play? And is the role that you're currently playing future-proof? What do you need to do to either make that job future-proof, or if you can see that actually you can anticipate a time when AI is going to be able to do the job better than you, how do you put yourself in a place where you've got work to do in future where you can make a valuable contribution? Thinking about different generations coming into the workplace, one of the biggest things that we can do is to shift from accusing them of naivety, trying to bring them around to our way of thinking, trying to get them to behave as we behaved when we were working our way up the organization, and instead ask, what do they have to teach us? Are we really listening? Are we dismissing what they have to say because they're young and they don't know yet what the real world is like? Or are we really, really listening and are really, really curious and open to having our minds changed? Purpose-driven businesses. I think it's so important that we don't dismiss purpose-driven businesses as naive or marginal. We have to look at not just the company purpose, but our own purpose. Do you know what you're here to do? Do you know what is driving you? It's very difficult to conceive of a whole business driven by purpose if you've lost sight of your own. What opportunities do you create to even think about this question? Why you're here in this role, why you're here in this company, why you're here in this industry, and what that means for you, what that's doing for you in terms of your life purpose. I have said before that not everyone has a big life purpose. Not everyone is driven in their work by wanting to change the world. And that's fine. And that's fine if that applies to you. But we all have things we care about. We all have things that we value. Are you making sure that the things that you care about and the things that you value are at the heart of the decisions that you make? Because if there aren't, then I would perfectly well understand how you couldn't conceive of a business that was genuinely driven by purpose. Breakdown of hierarchy and structure. Well, are you still doing the parent-child thing? Do you believe that you know what the right thing is to do and what the right thing is for others to do? Or are you willing to admit that actually you don't know? That what you know may not be true, may not be fact? Are you willing to be genuinely curious rather than pretending to listen and kind of give people space to explore their ideas? But deep down inside, you being frustrated because they're not getting it. They're not getting the right answer that you know to be right. This is incredibly difficult. If we're going to break this parent-child culture that exists in so many organizations, we can't expect the children to be the ones that break it. We have to look at our own behavior and ask, are we doing the parent thing? How do we adopt more of an adult frame of mind, more of an adult way of working, so that other people can be adults with us? Continuous iteration. Are you doing it or are you stuck in your habits? What feels comfortable to you, and when did you last look at that and wonder whether it was too comfortable? How are you going to make your life less comfortable? This is so hard to do because, you know, we love being comfortable. We love knowing what we're doing. We love when things are slightly predictable and slightly easy. And why would we disrupt them on our own? But I think we have got to be willing to conceive that some of the stuff that we do that is most comfortable is comfortable because we've been doing it that way for a long time. We haven't really looked at it, and it's time for us to look at it now. And finally, when it comes to the education of your children, if you have them, the choices, of course, are very personal, and I'm not a parenting expert by any means. But it is worth asking yourself, what old habits, habits that may not be beneficial in the future that we're facing, are you embedding into your children right now? We're just in the SATs season here in the UK. Exam success, being able to remember a lot of data and then regurgitate it under pressure, being, in inverted commas, good and respectful, learning how to game the school system, conforming to conventional ideas about what success looks like, doing a lot of planning for the future, and at the same time losing a sense of being present in the now. These are all things that we risk teaching our children by accident unless we reflect a little bit more. So like I say, I'm not a parenting expert. I'm making it up as I go along, like most people, I'm sure. But I do wonder whether a lot of the ideas that we have about parenting are creating good, for which you could read easy, children, rather than creating great adults. And if we were focused on creating great adults, what would we do differently? Would we be willing to make our lives looking after our children a little bit more difficult in order that we created better adults who were better ready for what the future world is going to need of them? So I hope there's something there for you to take away, something for you to think about. I always like to hear from people. Please do contact me. In a moment, I'll hand over to Ivy to tell you how you can do that. But I love to know what people's thoughts are. And I love it when people disagree and have a different angle on things. I'm in the curious mindset too, so I'd love to know what you think. If you are listening to this podcast on the day it comes out, so that's Monday the 15th of May 2017, I will be speaking tomorrow at my first Lean In event. I'm sure most of you have heard of Lean In, and this is the first event that I've been asked to speak at. It's at 5:30 till 8:30 at Ordnance Survey in Southampton. So you can PM me to get a link to more information about that, and I'll also put the link in the description of this podcast and in Instagram and all the various social media outlets that I use. Lean In is dedicated to bringing together professional women to create a more diverse pipeline of leaders in technology, in business, and the world at large. It's very much related to all the stuff that I've been talking about today, and I would love to see you there. I'm going to be talking about some of the themes that I've mentioned today in a bit more detail. There's the opportunity for Q&A. We've got a panel. There's a couple of other great speakers and lots of opportunity to network and meet like-minded people. Next week is an interview with the brilliant Jez Rose. Jez is a behaviorist. He's a broadcaster, an award-winning author, a speaker. That's how I first met him. We were on the bill of an event together. And he's going to be speaking to me about his latest venture, The Good Life Project, which explores how our connection with nature could transform our relationship to work. It's a really entertaining interview. He's very fun, very interesting to listen to, and I think it'll get us all looking at how we work and that connection with nature in a really different way. So until then, as I said, please stay in touch. And here's the lovely Ivy Palmer with how you can do that.
All the podcasts plus other articles are now on our website at www.thatpeoplething.com. And don't forget to follow Mummy on Twitter at Blair Palmer, Instagram Blair Lees Palmer, or on our Punks and Suits Facebook page. We hope you enjoy being more punk this week. Get it?